Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on
what's
the
up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, yeah, I'm trying to we are here in a market that doesn't give a rat's ass about anything. It's a market that just wants to go higher and... You know, who are we to say that that's incorrect, right? You know, we heard on Tuesday all day long about volatility at 23-year lows. Well, volatility is low, but it ain't at 23-year lows. It's at 11-year lows, which is 2005-06, in which the VIX traded down to 939. And it may then again go to a lower level, but we haven't. The first thing we have to do is take out the actual low, and then we can worry about going lower than that. But I do think that you can look at this model and see that complacency is king. And believe it or not, most people believe that the markets will never go down again. Okay, now I know that's hard to believe. But that's what the markets are telling you. And this is always the time that we get into issues and markets start to sometimes go the wrong way when we get too complacent. You know, the confidence level in this market is unbelievable. The way that we continue to try to move higher is unbelievable. And again, I can't tell you that it can't go on forever. But I would appreciate, first of all, I'd appreciate proper reporting on air at what the actual levels are on volatility. I mean, again, I find that sometimes fairly annoying when we do not get the proper reporting. I think that's kind of some of you read something and decided that that's the gospel. And of course, you know, that's not correct. At least give out the correct facts, because to me, you know, that's something. And in the all-time low in volatility was made the week of 12/18 of 2006 was when the volatility made its all-time low. And we're at 986. So we've got, again, it's not like it's a lot, but it is got room to go. And again, this is a market of complacency. And I think one of the things that you have to now think about is, you know, because we've seen, you know, volatility in the 50s, 80s on an occasion, which is really only how they price the option model anyways, is by volatility. But I think one of the things that we can focus on is that we're probably not going to see the moving average, which is still over 20 or at 20, ever there again. You know, one of the things we do now have that is different as far as a market is that we have obviously global markets participating, and markets are open in theory almost 24 hours a day. Because you can trade, you can't trade individual stocks, but even individual stocks you can trade for 12 or 13 hours a day. But you can trade futures almost 24 hours a day, which does replicate the major indexes. You know, the Dow future, which represents the diamonds and a lot of the Dow stocks, the S&P, which represents the SPY, the spiders, and the SPX, and the Russell and the Nasdaq. So again, you can basically trade. So that takes away the volatility, because what happens is a lot of these things can blow off steam before the market, you know, before anything would happen. And what that really means is it's just simply this, is that the markets don't have those big reactions. You know, it's funny, I was talking yesterday morning when I was down on the floor of the CBOE, Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and we're talking about, you know, how we used to stand behind a machine. We had one machine for 45 traders. It was a little, tiny little box that weighed about 9,000 pounds. But I mean, the money supply used to be a big deal. No, that's no longer a big deal. The jobs number, you know, I can't remember the last time we had a active jobs number to trade off of. So all these things are telling you is that because of the sophistication, we have less to react to when things do happen. And that is something that, you know, you have to just understand is that we don't have as many surprises because many of them get priced in ahead of time. And again, the steam blows off. Now, you know, the only thing that can't get, you know, priced in ahead of time is the, you know, something that's nasty, you know, that would be, you know, terrorist related or something like that. So that will catch markets. But we've seen, you know, as years go by, volatility continues to fall. And that is something that you need to understand that, you know, the days of real high volatility are probably gone from that standpoint, because there's really no expectations that we're going to see that happen again, because, again, we have a way to relieve those types of conditions well in advance. So there would be no expectation of a major move. But what it does mean, the volatility index is priced by the number of puts that are being bought to open, which puts are to mean the market's going down, versus the ones that are sold to open. Because when you sell to open, it means that you're trying to buy the stock at a discount. So buy to open, sell to open. So if you're buying to open, that means you're trying to either buy protection, you're taking a stay up to the short side. And that's what creates a little bit of fear, a little bit of uncertainty. And we don't have that uncertainty now. We have a market that is certain that it can only go higher. And of course, we all know that that never ends well. But, you know, in the meantime, while we're waiting for it not to end well, it can still go higher. And, you know, so you and I can look at it now. You know, if you're a short-term type of trader or you're looking for an opportunity to do something, then I would certainly watch the volatility index, the VIX, and then decide the timing of when I wanted to enter a position to the short side. And I would look for the VIX to be that driving force that would say, okay, it looks like the markets are starting to turn around a little bit. And maybe this is the time for me to go ahead and jump in. And that's what I use it for. I try to use it more for a guide to steer me, you know, when markets are making a big move. Let's say they're making a big move down and the VIX all of a sudden stops going down and starts going up and starts going down. That usually signifies that the end of that move is in, just like as we have a big rally and the VIX starts going up when the market's going up. Well, that's that relationship is not correct, which means that move is probably over. And that's a good way to use the VIX as a tool to guide yourself in a much better and faster way and create more accuracy, because that will help you in the long run give you a much better feel and a much better position because of all that. And that's something that, you know, we have to, you know, understand and look at, because it will make you, a better trader, a better investor, and it will put you in a better position of probability. And that is something that, you know, I think that you need to, you know, grasp is trying to create probability for yourself. Because again, there is no guarantee, there is no sure thing, but one thing we do know for sure is that if we at least put ourselves in a mathematical probability, we will find that we have a better opportunity. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz on this nice, beautiful Wednesday, 42 degrees in Chicago and rainy. Always love it. You're great if you're not. Anyways, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And so, you know, we talked about volatility and the effects that that has. And of course, I think one of the things that you see very strangely enough in this market is the lack of volume, the lack of overall interest. And I think this is where you have to understand what's going on. And what's really going on is that the professional traders are either looking to short the market or are standing on the sidelines, allowing the retail traders to continue to load the boat, so to speak, because the boat's getting ready to sink. Now, again, I'm not predicting any time frame. I can't tell you, you know, when that sell-off is going to come, but I can tell you with 100% certainty, not 95, not 99, but with 100, that it is going to come. Now, again, the issue always is, well, when? And if I knew that, I would share it with you after I was in already, of course. But we know that that's going to happen. But again, we cannot, you know, predict to a certainty, and there's no reason to try. I will say this, that when we do get the sell-off, and for those of you that want to be short, you will find out that you will make more money by waiting and letting the market break first and selling the subsequent rally instead of trying to pick the top, because you'll have a higher degree of certainty of what's going to happen. But in the meantime, you've got all the idiot analysts out there telling you, bye, 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 we're going to the moon, we're going to the moon. And of course, that's always an issue and a problem that we find. It's exactly, you know, what we try to do, all right, is to, you know, be able to weed out the crap. Weed out the garbage, weed out the spew, the slime that is delivered on the airwaves by the pundits that have no idea of what a market even is, yet alone how to trade it. I think this is one of the issues that I find to be extremely annoying, is that most have not nary a clue as to what even to think of possibly could happen next, nor to gauge the market, and they're strictly, you know, working on, you know, on what they think versus what they've read, and they're basically spewing somebody else's opinion. And to me, I don't like that. I think that is something that is, you know, not good for the average guy. I think that's not good for anybody, because again, many of us depend on, you know, the news to kind of have an idea. And if we're not getting good information, solid information, then that kind of sucks, because we're not really getting a report that is really to what's going on in the market. And I find that to be embarrassing. And I won't name names, but, you know, across the network system, there are many out there that continue to you know, say things that they have A, no idea what they're saying, B, they're stealing information from others, and it just doesn't work for me. I think that we need to be much better at reporting. I mean, I do that, you know, I talk to a lot of this on when I'm doing, you know, farming TV, because, you know, we're still involved in what these reports are. And of course, you've heard me say this before, and I will say it again. The reports that we see are pretty much already priced into the market. There is no true surprise when it comes to economic data. There is no true surprise when it comes to planting. There is no true surprise when it comes to some of the other things, because that news is already out there. You know, again, you have to remember that there's people paying big sums of money to have that information ahead. And with today's technology, you know, let me give you a good example. If for any of you who have possibly ever gambled on a football game or have been to a casino, did you ever notice that they don't allow phones in the sports book in the casino? And the reason that is because back in the old days, guys used to, you know, beat the system, and they would have people on cell phones or pagers, and they'd be, you know, sending information back and forth, trying to get the edge in the books. and that was before they were had the technology. And so now it's a similar thing, but you've got people on the inside that are selling information ahead of time, or if you know how to calculate it, then you can kind of figure out by all the reports, because all those big reports are a compilation of the little reports. And that's how you beat the system. And so by the time the news hits the public, as they say, or hits the street, that news is already dated. It's already old. It's already passed. And I think that is one of the problems, you know, that the average trader and average investor doesn't understand still to this day, is that we can just allow the market to dictate to us. We can just kind of follow the tape, which is, in other words, follow the money. And then we are finding ourselves that we'll have a much better shot and a much better opportunity of being correct versus trying to, you know, outguess the general markets. Because, again, I will say to you, you will never be able to outguess the general markets. It just doesn't happen. You know, it's not that we have a major thing. It's just, again, we have to have an idea of what's going to be next. And that's, if you follow the money, you will find yourself that in a much better position to be successful, not by, you know, trying to, you know, trade off of a piece of news, because what you find out is that at the end, the news is wrong anyways. Okay. Did you ever notice how certain information is, you know, the markets make a move completely different than you expected? Because again, that goes back to price and expectations. And I think if you look at the movie Trading Places, and if you remember the line when frozen orange juice was going down and Mortimer what else is the other guy's name? Whatever his name was, you go, well, that's not right. Well, it was right because they already had the information and they were letting the markets push up before they came in and sold. And again, that is a very common practice in general. Okay, that goes back into the spoofing and the whole rigmarole. And I think that is something that we find, you know, very trying overall, is that, you know what, markets are going to do what markets are going to do, but they're well ahead of everybody else. And the reason that they're so far ahead is because information is out there. And if you have the wherewithal and the willingness to try to compute the data ahead of time, then you're going to often be ahead, which is why the high frequency stuff is based on like keywords that it tries to move off of. So, you know, again, you have to remember that you didn't invent plutonium here, right? You know, there is no pure mathematical system for net gains in long-term investing. There is a hedging model, which is purely mathematical. But as far as buying, you know, trying to get the magic box to pick for you, that does not exist and never will, because, again, the markets are driven by humans and their interpretation of what's going on. So, you know, again, just remember, look, we could go up for an extended period of time. It doesn't mean we're not going to go up today, tomorrow. I mean, we could stop any time and turn around. But in the meantime, the markets could go higher and extend for longer than we think. And there's no reason for us to try to get ahead of it, because you'll have a much better chance if you wait for it and then get into it. And I think that's what you'll learn by being involved in markets. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only station you'll ever need to get what you need for news about what's going on in the world. And of course, you get The Bubba Show there, and you can download that at LibertyTalk.fm, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, BubbaTrading.com gets you a lot of great information and will help you become better. And of course, we've got programs as well. But in the meantime, This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, you step out. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, we've been kind of talking about volatility and about the function of markets today. And, you know, I think one of the interesting questions is retail done? Is this truly the retail ice age? Are we no longer going to have the need to go to the stores? And I think that's probably pretty realistic. You know, I think that, you know, pretty soon here, we're going to have a bunch of empty places. And, you know, I don't know how that makes me feel. I think it kind of makes you feel kind of sad, and it makes me kind of scared because it's going to put out once again, a lot of people are going to be out of work. Once again, a lot of people are going to be searching, and you know, this happens often. But what we don't realize is that, you know, this time, I hate to say this time might be different from a working standpoint, not from a market standpoint, but it might be different because, again, here the training or the setup to what we've got to go to now, you know, we're going, if we go back to the Industrial Revolution, you know, we went from, you know, horse and buggy to cars into, you know, automated machines. And of course, you know, if you follow the machine tool industry at all, you know, they went from, you know, hand operators from, you know, a lathe or a drill press and into what they called CNC, computer numerically controlled. And of course, now into very sophistication, you know, basically you need somebody to, instead of having one man, one machine, you might have one man watching 10 machines. But again, that's progress. And we get that. So the Industrial Revolution, it was easier to train people from what they were doing to moving into, you know, operating a machine or being part of an assembly line or something like that. But now the difference is we're going into like a whole nother language. Obviously the top jobs now, you know, that are available are the coding jobs and the computer stuff. And that isn't so easy to train somebody so quickly. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to keep in mind as we watch this, because, you know, I give you an example. My dad, you know, retired, but, you know, he wanted to be outside. He wanted to work a little bit. So he went to work at the golf course. And so at the golf course, they wanted him to learn how to work the cash register, which was like a computer. And he quit. He said, I can't do this. And it's funny, but it's not funny. But I mean, that will be a more common theme among older, non-computer savvy people. You know, it's the new generation coming up, you know, coding is the way to go because that's where the jobs will be. But the people that are kind of in that crossroads, if you didn't use computers, you would have a great deal of difficulty fitting in, let alone trying to make that a career. And I think that's where we have a lot of problems, which is why I've said, you know, for the last 6 years, I have said we need to rebuild America because we can put all these people to work while we're changing over, so to speak, while we're changing over from, you know, from laboring or manufacturing to coding and, you know, more desk kind of work. And I think that overall is the real problem because we have to, you know, get ourselves into a much cleaner position. And I think that's how we would get out of this mess that we've created, is by letting the people that need to make a good wage. And again, if you go back to the 40-year-olds and over 45, because there's a lot of us like me that are uneducated. You know, if I had to get a job, nobody'd hire me. So my point is very simple. We need to move forward so that we can help those get through and make a good living. And as you go there, now you've got the younger generation, I guess they call millennials or whatever, but that are going to be more computer savvy. And of course, you know, they don't know how to use, they don't know how to add without a calculator. You know, I went to a store once and they couldn't make change without using a calculator. I go, geez, really? Are you kidding me? But in the meantime, that's what we have now. You know, all of our kids were taught with, you know, calculators. They were allowed to take tests with calculators. I mean, I personally believe that to be a mistake. I believe that absolutely you can use a calculator and it can help you. But I also believe that you need to learn how to think for yourself. You know, you need to be able to do things by hand manually, just in case, you know, because what if you're in the middle? I mean, God forbid you were in the middle of a thing that required math computations. Your calculator broke. You couldn't get batteries and you were stuck. What would you do then? Just sit there and wait? You know, that's one of the problems with, you know, everything, you know, on computers. That's one of the problems with everything on these fancy calculators. You know, again, I have no problem with it from a perspective of that you could use them and that they're a great tool. But I do believe that each person should learn to the highest of their ability, because we're all different, of math. And, you know, because obviously, you know, if you want to be an engineer, you know, you have to have a very advanced degree in math. And I think that, you know, if we don't know how to do it manually, again, what happens if you're in an emergency and you don't know how to do it and your equipment breaks down? I mean, there's just so many things that go wrong. You know, I remember when I was dealing with some formulas for trigonometry, and they were running some machines, and, you know, I was writing code. Well, I wasn't writing code. I was doing the calculations for somebody, and I made one mistake and the machine crashed. Right. And so I'm just saying that it's always better to know how to do it, and you can use the machine, but at least if you know, then you are in much better shape. And that's what I think where we missed the boat here is we don't know enough. We don't know much. And to me, that's sad, because it's so much easier to know and to be taught how to do it. Because again, you may be in a position that you have to do it manually. You know, so I always worry, you know, about, you know, I send my kids out and they're driving, and let's say they're driving home from school. You know, my kids are old enough to understand, but, you know, they don't know what to do if their car breaks down. I mean, you know, you think they would know how to change a tire? I mean, we don't teach kids enough skills anymore. Everything is too much about the next test and those things. And I find that another sad excuse for an education system. I mean, you know, don't you need to have some basic fundamental skills to exist? You know, and that's where, you know, I mean, from changing a light bulb to, you know, to being able to change a tire, to being able to understand that, you know, you need to change your oil and you need to fix your car. You need to make sure that it's running optimally, you know, and these are things that I think create a much bigger problem. And this goes back down to the markets, how we are now with all this complacency. We're so complacent in almost everything that we do in this country right now, because everything always seems to work its way out. But I think that's where we find a much bigger mistake, because we do not give our kids the right education. And, you know, I think, you know, listen, you want to make the school day longer? Of course, the teachers won't be happy with that. But I think that you need to have home ec. I think you need to have like woodworking or auto mechanics. And again, I'm not saying that you need them for a you know, full career, but at least have a basic understanding of how the system works and what you may or may not have to do when you have a problem at home or in your car. And to me, that's ridiculous that we don't educate our youth with stuff that is important in everyday life. And that's, you know, again, and that goes back to financial literacy as well. You know, if we don't give them the proper tools, then they're doomed to either be dependent or to fail. And don't you want to set your kids up in the best position to be successful instead of having them dependent forever? And I think that's the new thing is, you know, a lot of homes, both parents work, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, listen, work is good and making money is good, but we end up, financing a lot of things for our kids instead of letting them learn something. And I think that becomes a bigger issue from a standpoint that we don't have any common sense. I think that becomes a much more bigger issue that we don't give our kids, you know, how to live in the real world, you know, because again, they're going to run up at some point, no matter where you live, no matter what you do, you're going to run up to somewhere where you're going to need to use your mind, how to figure yourself out using logic, how to figure out yourself using common sense. And I don't think that we give enough of that. And of course, a lot of us are born with common sense, but a lot of us are not. And you can't, it's not really a teachable skill, but at least it gives you a general idea of what you may have to do, because the biggest thing you'll learn if you're a game player is you have to think ahead of your opponent. Well, when you're stuck in your car or when you're in maybe a bad position, you have to be able to think ahead of what may happen. And I think that we don't do enough of that. And that's what creates, obviously, problems in the markets, problems all over. And I think that's kind of, you know, where we've ended up here. And I think that's a tragedy in general. And I think we need to fix that, but we can't do it until we start to make the proper changes. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, bubbatrading.com. We do a lot of good stuff there for you, and make sure that you have a great understanding of how markets work. And, of course, that's my goal, is to make sure everybody has a good understanding. And we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Let's go to Rural Rally Radio and Mark Oppold. Here we go.
It's with us on a regular basis. He's with Bubba Trading, bubbatrading.com. Todd, happy Wednesday.
What do you say, Mark? How are you?
Well, you know, getting started here on the day, and we're just talking about this, kind of go in reverse a little bit here and talk about these livestock futures or cattle and feeder cattle. You called it early in the day. If people weren't with us on our market day report, you said, Mark, this looks like it's the squeeze is over and the top is in and we're going to go lower. And certainly we did.
Well, you know, even if lion's quill finds an acorn, right? But, you know, I think that you've seen, you know, a big rush up. And one of the things we have to be very careful in markets is we call it a blow off pattern. And that's when people are buying or selling, depending which way we're going, and they don't care about price. They don't care about time. They just got to get in or get out. And I think that's what we've seen now. I think we had that big squeeze, especially in cash. And I think that showed a lot. And we saw unbelievable moves. And I think last Thursday showed us, you know, after you opened limit and then closed off and almost got down on the day. And then, of course, Friday we're down. I think now you look for any strength early, like this morning. If they open higher, you probably want to look to be a seller if you're a speculator, because that means they're probably going to go lower because you're going to get some early buying. I think you're going to look for markets to work their way fairly significantly lower here. Again, as you know, I'm a big fan longer term here, but I think that for the health of the markets from a technical standpoint, we need to see some selling anyway. So I'm expecting to see prices go down, and I will be looking to buy, but we first have to resolve this backwardation plan we've got going on with first of June, August, and then, you know, going further, because we are backwards until I think November before it starts to reverse the other way.
Mm-hmm. Now, so folks tuning in here, live cattle, they would say, well, Todd, I understand what you're saying, but we've got the June down here at the 125 level, and already, you know, even if we are $4, $5, $6 lower in the cash trade, we're still going to be well above that here at the end of the day.
Well, you know, you could be, but, you know, things do change in a hurry. And that's one of the reasons that we always talk about having, you know, protection. You know, you get these big rallies in the futures markets and you have a way to go ahead and defend against any adverse movement. That's when you try to take advantage of that while allowing yourself to be able to collect if you're wrong and the markets continue to go higher. And that's, I think, very important to understand that, you know, markets are markets, but they do change in a hurry. And there's no, you know, law that says that they can't go down. For example, there's no law that we can't go down the limit 3 or 4 days in a row.
So are you going to be watching the live cattle closer or the feeder cattle closer here at on the day?
Well, I'm going to watch them both, but I think that the feeders have shown a little bit more weakness, you know, along. They were more steady over this entire run. So I think that the fat cattle's got a bigger chance to go lower faster, but not to be disappointed that the feeders will probably follow pretty closely. But I'll be basing my decisions off of the fat cattle right now because they had the most chart damage or the chart pattern that I wouldn't want to see because as you know from you know being together for a couple of years, I don't like to see these dramatic movements either up or down because they throw off the whole way of the workings of the market.
And normally the producer comes out on the short end of that whole activity. Before we take a break here, I want to get your thoughts on the lean hogs here. Are we going to be talking about the same thing in lean hogs tomorrow morning?
Well, I think lean hogs are very close. I would be willing to be a seller at 78, which is right here. Again, they've had a nice run. We've had a $10 rally in the last 12 days, and I think that you're going to see some pressure. I would expect to see a pullback to probably 72, and that would be something that I'd look for. Like them, look for higher prices later, but for now, I think we're going to have to see some selling.
Yeah, and it's interesting here that there's not a lot of spread June to July to August lean hogs. They're all right there, 77.60, 77.70.
It's amazing, isn't it, how we've just all bunched up. And, you know, we go from these, and that's one of the things you look for in these markets, is you go from dramatics. You have wide contango, then you go to wide backwardation, and now you just go flat. So it's always interesting because that will help guide your decision-making based on what's going on in the actual markets.
By the way, before we do take a break here, I want to just real quick, we'll come back and talk the grain markets here, have the crop report today. But the outside markets here, Dow, still toying with that 21,000 level, kind of back and forth. But I understand the volume has been pretty light.
Pathetic. It's 50% of normal volume and going down every day. Volatility index is at 11-year lows. These markets are getting ready to spin out of control the other way because, again, you've got way too much complacency and everybody believes that the markets will never go down again. And we all know what that means in any market. When you believe that nothing's going to happen bad, that's just when it's going to happen because we've got everybody on the same side of the market. So, and I think that will actually help the agricultural markets when it does happen, and I'm looking for it to happen probably, you know, relatively soon here now.
Todd Horwitz joining us, leading things off on this Wednesday morning. It's Bubba Trading, BubbaTrading.com. Pretty soon on a Wednesday, May the 10th. Mark Oppel, Zach Troutman with you, joined by our good friend Todd Horwitz once again, leading things off, looking at this livestock trade, keeping an eye on the cattle, the feeder cattle, and hogs as well here in the day. Turning over to grains, it's the crop report day. Todd, the folks that may not be as familiar with you have not tuned in on a regular basis, you don't pay a lot of attention to these crop reports.
Honestly, Mark, I won't even look at it. What I'll do later is I'll ask somebody what it was. I can see in the price action, right? And I think one of the big mistakes that a lot of people make is they try to trade off of that report, and it's too late. If you're not already positioned on what you think it might bring, then you shouldn't be trying to trade it because you're never going to get the proper fill, and you can only get hurt by doing that. So it's easier to not pay attention and know that you've set yourself up properly and not worry about it. I mean, I don't think it'll bring much. I mean, it's way too early. I think that if you want to look for a report that has possibly some meaning, you know, we're talking about the June 30 report. This one is just, you know, some more speculation, right, depending on what happens.
Yeah, not to be flippant here. It is the numbers that the trade will have, that's like it or not, is what they have to trade, looking at the ending stocks number. But as you say, a lot of that, the average numbers have been known for quite some time, and it's a futures trade. They're already looking ahead well past this report.
Well, I mean, I think the other thing you have to remember is that in today's world, when everybody's carrying a computer in their back pocket, you know, it's easy to compile these numbers, and I guarantee you that the big firms and the big funds, they pay people just to try to compile and come up with this number ahead of time. And it's not that hard because this is all information that we've already had. So there's like nothing, it's not a secret that's going to come out if you can figure out and go to the spots you need to find all that info. So again, I always believe that it's pretty much priced in, and the markets in today's world find very few surprises.
So look at the corn, pretty well flat yesterday, most all day long. And any thoughts in the corn, regardless of what the numbers show today? We're near halfway planted around the country.
Well, I think we're going higher. And I mean, I'd love to be a buyer of corn at 365 or 360. I mean, I've been a buyer there all along. And, you know, I think we're going to see in July corn 380, maybe higher. And obviously, I'm very convinced that we're going to see well over $4 in December corn. So I think it's going to be a good year for everybody there.
And then the soybean trade. Again, they were up double digits at times yesterday. Didn't quite close that way. And they're holding on to most of it overnight here.
Soybeans are my one worry. You know, obviously there's a lot of very bearish forecasts out there. And again, I'm not going to take those forecasts. I don't believe in extremes like $7 or $6 beans. I think that 940 is a great support level. I think we're going to make a run to 10. And I need to see the action at $10. But again, I think that soybeans will be fine, but I think they will not be the leader of the pack this year. I think actually, I still believe wheat's going to be the leader of the pack.
So, oh, you do? Mm-hmm. You think wheat will be the leader?
I think wheat's going well over $5. I believe that. I've watched. I've said that a number of times, even when they've taken them down. But I mean, I've been a buyer of wheat, and I think, you know, I bought wheat at 380. You know, I've been buying it all the way up, and every time it dips down, I'm a buyer again because I believe that it's going to be an extremely strong year for wheat, and I think things are going to be very good. I think we're going to see a weaker dollar, which will help the export. I think everything's going to be favorable to the farmers this year. I think it's going to be the first year in quite a while that we've had everything working our way to make things work the best way for us.
I'm going to get through this time here. You're talking longer term into, you know, October, November. But for overall, 2017 looks like a good year in your view.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a terrific year. I'm excited for it because I do think it's going to be a big year, and I think it's going to be great for farmers and producers.
All right. Todd Howell, folks like what they hear this morning and want to know more about what you do, what you might do for them, how will they get a hold of you?
Certainly they can go to BubbaTrading.com and get a hold of me from the website or email me directly at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com. Love to educate. Have webinars I can send you that have been recorded or I do them live. But would love to hear from anybody because it's my goal and my job to help people understand and do better.
Any webinars coming up we need to let folks know about?
Not yet. We just did one on Saturday, but I have it recorded. If anybody would like it, just email me and I'll send it right out to you, and you can watch it at a 2 or 3 day delay.
Very good. Todd, thanks for your time as always. We look forward to we'll have you back, by the way. If folks want to see you, you'll be on Market Day Report here a little bit later.
That's right, Mark. Thanks. I'll see you at lunchtime.
You got it. Todd Horwich, Bubba.
That'll do it for today. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. Have a great day, everybody. See you back and around. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. Take care, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.